bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we look at your word, I pray your Holy Spirit will work a mighty work in each one of us, that we hear your meaning and we live according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture text for today is found in John chapter 14, verses 22 through 31. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. John 14, beginning at verse 22. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to me, to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here." These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. As we look at this portion of Scripture, we see it's not really, doesn't appear to be the one that we would use on Pentecost Sunday. This being Pentecost Sunday, as we read in Acts chapter 2, how the Spirit of God came down to the Christians in the house and how it sat on each one of them in cloven tongues. You know, I think when that come, it reminds me of a freight train, if you want to call it, going through the middle of town with no tracks. I don't know if you've ever been in a basement or in a house when a tornado went over that didn't strike you. And it's a terrible sound of rushing wind, and it sounds like a train going right through the house, even though the house is not destroyed. And when it goes over and you don't hear the noise anymore, your house is still standing, you know you made it through that particular tornado, if that's what it was coming. And it's a harrowing experience to be sitting in a basement listening to this sound, wondering if your house is going to be standing or not. It's an experience I would not wish on anybody. And I'll tell you, it's something you don't forget real easily. But we see this is what happened on Pentecost Sunday when the Christians received the Holy Spirit. Now, Christ had talked to the disciples, and he was talking to them here in this scripture in John, and he's telling them of the things that's going to happen. And he's telling them that the Holy Spirit is going to come, that he is going to send him because he's going to tell God the Father to send it in the name of Jesus, that the Spirit of God is part of the triune God that lives in us as believers. And as we would to read again, verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. We see that also in Revelation chapter 20, or chapter 3, verse 20. Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice, that he would hear his voice and open the door and come to him to help and to receive him into his life." And if you would go over there. We find that God is, or Christ is talking to us in Revelation, that we find that it is there that Christ is knocking on our heart's door. And knocking on our heart's door, he is taking and saying, "Open the door and believe on me in all things." Keep on. Okay. He said she's sleeping, so that's okay. So we find that as Christ knocks on our door, we realize we must take and open that door. We either accept Christ or we don't. And Jesus is saying, if you love me, you will keep my words. If you love me, my Father will be loved by you. And by being loved by God the Father, he will send the Holy Spirit to you. If you do not accept Christ, and if you do not love the words of God or the words of Christ, you will realize that the Holy Spirit will not abide in you or come to you. But it is through the Holy Spirit in the Christian that we learn to live by God, that we learn to live for God, and we learn that God loves us at all times, and that God continues loving us even though in our physical bodies we may not be doing everything that we would like to do. Because Paul tells us that the things that I want to do I can't do because the evil one is in my body. But the spiritual body, the spirit that believes in God and has God in his heart and soul, that spirit wants to do good. It's the same when Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He told his disciples, he says, "Could you not pray 1 hour? The flesh is weak, the spirit is willing." And we find that so very, very true, where we try and do things in our own stead rather than seeking God's will. I like the way it tells us in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, and this was written and prophesied many, many years before Christ came on the scene in the physical body. And God is talking through Zechariah the prophet, and he says, "I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications. Then they will love they will look on me whom they have pierced. They will mourn for him as one who mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one would grieve for his firstborn." You see, God was already telling that the people would look on him when he was pierced. And looking on him being pierced on at the cross, we find that through that cross is the piercing of the people. And even after Christ died on the cross, we realize that the centurion says, "Truly, this was the Son of God." This man is one in which God has been and is. We see that Christ died in the flesh, and he was buried, and the third day he rose again before his body could decay, and he was risen in the immortal body. When we're born to live forever, and our physical bodies will die, but our physical bodies will be reunited with our spirit, and they will become immortal at either the first resurrection or the second resurrection. And if it's at the first resurrection, we're told in Revelation, you do not have to worry about the second one because you are in the hands of God and you are in the hands of the one that can keep you forever and ever, and you cannot then go over to the other side. As we would look at the rich man and Lazarus, we would see that the rich man, when he died, he looked up and seen heaven, and he seen the blessings that were there. These are the blessings that we get when we have Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. These are the blessings that is given to us through the Holy Spirit each day as we call upon him, as we study his word, and as we seek the will of God day by day. The reason why the Holy Spirit cannot be into the people that don't believe in God or don't want anything to do with him is because they have rejected what Christ came into the world to do. They have rejected Christ and they have condemned themselves already. We have been told that earlier in John chapter 3, verse 18, it would tell us that if you reject Christ, that you have already condemned yourself to hell because you reject what God has done and what God is doing for each one of us each day. We find that God watches over us and keeps us each day as we read and study and pray and ask him and his Spirit to not only be with us, but to help us to understand his word and to understand the love that God has for each one of us. And Jesus is telling his disciples that he has spoken these things that when it comes to pass, they would understand. When they received the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday, they understood and realized that what Christ had told them for those 3 years and taught them, that it was fulfilled and that it was Christ and Christ alone that was the Son of God, and that it was Christ and Christ alone that was is part of the triune God in the first place. We see that they come become very bold. We see that Peter, in his preaching, if we were to continue on in Acts, he gave the sermon and he prophesied and he gave what Joel had spoken of there in Joel 2, how God would pour out his Spirit upon the men and women of that day and the days to follow. How God pours out his Spirit upon us. And many, many times we can see people doing miracles or doing other things that God has given them the unction to do. Healing, we see that is a gift of God. We see prayer is a gift of God. We see teaching is a gift of God. We see hospitality is a gift of God. And we see giving is a gift of God. It is all working through the Holy Spirit in us and teaching us how to live for him day by day, that we can have his peace. And even though we have trials in the world, we see Peter when he got out of the boat and he says, Lord, if it's you, command you to come to me. And so the Lord says, come. Peter gets out of the boat in full confidence and looks at Christ and starts walking forward to Christ. Then suddenly he's away from the boat and he isn't up to Christ yet to grab his hand. And he looks over and he sees the wind and the boisterous waves and he gets scared and he starts to sink. And Jesus hears him cry, Lord, save me. And he lifts him up and he says, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? He's telling us the same thing. Don't look to the left or to the right. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ and what he has done on the cross for you. And you do not have to worry. You can have the peace of which passes all understanding. Not as the world gives, because the world's peace will not last. But the peace of God can keep you in peace and in tranquility, even through the hardest times, as we look upon him and call upon him, regardless of the troubles that's coming around us. We find that we can have the happiness of the Holy Spirit living in us, Even though things around us might be seem like they're falling apart, yet we find that it is God's Holy Spirit giving us that peace and tranquility we need so that we can live better lives and imitate Christ and live for Him day by day. We find that this peace is the one that God gives us, and God has the complete peace for each one of us at all times. And we find, too, that the judgment of the world will be coming in the days when the world is called together. Satan is cast out of heaven for good, and he cannot accuse us before God. The time is coming, and the Satan will come bound to earth. Then he will be arrested during the tribulation period and thrown in prison for 1,000 years. We see the signs coming before us, and we are told to recognize these signs and to see them and realize that it's the nearness of the Lord, even at the door, even though we do not know the day or the hour. But we can know the signs of the time, and that Jerusalem has become the city of God, and it's the one in which Christ will rule the world from. We see that when Christ comes back, that he will set up his kingdom there, and the people of the world will go to Jerusalem yearly to worship him and to thank him and praise him for all that he has done. Those that refuse to do it will be punished, not only in this life, but even in the life to come, because they reject Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And Jesus says, I do not have much to say. He says, I no longer will talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. And so Jesus told the Sadducees and the Pharisees, he says, you are of your father the devil, because you do not want to accept what Christ or what God had promised and prophesied way back from Genesis chapter 3 of how he would come into the world and die for the sins of the world, yet they would reject him, and because they reject him, they would find that they do not have any pleasure in the words of God or in the things of God, but that they would take part then in the resurrection of the damned, and they would be punished accordingly. So we find that as the world does not know God, the world wants to go on doing its own thing. We can see that in the world today, that the things of the world and the laws coming of down through the pipeline, if you want to call it, is telling us, you do what I tell you or else. And you do it the way I tell you or else. And it's leading to one world leadership, one world doctrine. It's that world doctrine that is being implemented by Satan, and it's the one that is a false religion. It's one that is false in all things, and it denies Jesus as God. It denies Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And God tells us, love the Lord thy God with all your strength and with all your heart and with all your mind. And Jesus says, if you love me, you are loved by my Father because you have loved me accordingly. And this is what he wants us to do on Pentecost, not only today, but every day, is to show our love and to be imitators of God and imitators of Christ in our workplace, at home, or wherever we are, that people will see Christ in us and glorify him, calling upon him daily, not only for knowledge and discernment, but for wisdom to speak to those round about us, bringing them into the fold of Jesus Christ. And we are thankful for each one here today. As if you haven't realized, we have three people that are 100 years old or better, and praise the Lord for that. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Help us, O Lord, to serve you and help us to live for you day by day. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to 553.
Wonderful, wonderful day, day I will never forget. After I wandered